Now, going back to Romans chapter 10 in our text, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" The theme of our revival this week has been in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, where God said to Jeremiah to run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and seek now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. And that's our theme, if ye can find a man. Now, Sunday morning we preached on the old past. Sunday night we preached on memories, the word behind. Last night we preached the theme message, if you can find a man. And tonight we're going to preach on that man that God wants. And the title of the message are the old-time prophets, the old-time preachers. Four of the most neglected doctrines of the Bible are the doctrine of genuine Christian love and charity, the Battle of Armageddon, the millennial reign of Christ, and the doctrine of the divine call. Messages on preaching and about preaching are not heard very much today. Congregations feel that preaching about preachers is only for preachers, but that's not true. And preachers are uneasy preaching it to congregations because they feel like someone might think that they're patting themselves on the back. And so if you'll pardon me, fellows, I'll pat you on the back tonight. You won't have to be embarrassed. The divine call and what preaching is and is not is neither taught nor understood in our colleges and seminaries, and thus, by and large, it's not understood in our churches. Most Christians, and I'm talking about fundamental conservative Christians, do not know that one of the cardinal doctrines of the Bible is the divine call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a divine and supernatural call. And because it's understood and misunderstood, pulpits across America are staffed by men who have not been called of God, and therefore they make a mess of things, not because they're bad men, not because they're evil men, but because they simply do not know any better. Old-time preaching in America is being rejected and replaced. In 2 Timothy 4:3 that we referred to last night, the Bible says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And we've come to that time in our country today. Jerusalem, in Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38, was rebuked by Jesus Christ. He said that you have stoned the prophets that were sent. I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chick, but ye would not. You would not. Why? Because you would not listen to the prophets that I sent, and therefore your house is left unto you desolate. Tonight, America is a desolate country. America is a country that I believe has by and large been deserted of God, and that's because we have rejected the old-time preachers and we have replaced them by other means of communication.
Amen.
We have rejected them by ridicule and scorn. The movies and the news media and our literature, such as one of our hero writers, Mark Twain, who was a low-down infidel, made fun of preachers and religion. The words preach and sermons are always used in a negative way, except in specific places in some churches. For example, if you're trying to tell someone something or someone says something to you and you don't like it, you say, "Don't preach to me." But what you need, my friend, is some old-time preaching. And we say, "Well, I don't need a sermon." But bless your heart, what you need and what America needs more than anything in the world today is a sermon from a man that's called of God. And you say, "Well, are you through preaching?" As a matter of fact, I'm not. We ought to keep on preaching the Word of God, but we rejected it by ridicule and scorn, and we've made the word preach and preaching and sermon into something negative, and every time it's used by the general public, it's in a negative way. Even we preachers will say to somebody, "Now, I'm not trying to preach to you. Well, let me tell you tonight, I am trying to preach to you. And that's what you need. And that's what America needs. God knows we don't need any more lectures by these low-down politicians and lecturers and all the rest. We've rejected old-time preaching by ridicule and scorn, and we've rejected it by replacing it with lesser things. What am I talking about? Teaching and teachers, counseling and counselors, congregational rule, committees and board rule, rather than pastoral rule.
Amen.
Yet you consider, and we could park there for a while, by the way.
Amen.
You know, you get the idea somehow that a church is supposed to be run like the United States government. If you want the church to be in the rotten mess the U.S. government is in, you run it like the government with parliamentary procedures and committees and everything else. God put preachers in the churches to operate the church, to lead the people in the program of God. God never appointed a board, never appointed a committee. Not one time in the whole Bible he said to a man of God, you go, tell my people, thus saith the Lord. We preach, consider that in the Old Testament, teach and teaching and teachers are found just 78 times, and 12 of those times, it's in a negative sense. And that leaves 66 positive times. And singing, and don't you singers, don't get insulted, but there's a place for singing. But you understand what I'm saying. For example, I know, and I hope I don't step on anybody's toes tonight, but listen, there are churches all over the South that'll have a service, and they'll get to singing, and they'll get to hooping and hollering, and I love that just as much as anybody else. I enjoy the shouting. I enjoy the amen. I enjoy the uplifted hands and the hallelujahs and all that, but they'll get to singing, and they'll go on and shouting, and they'll have an altar call and never have the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, by the foolishness of preaching, he chose to save some. When the singing is over, it's time for the man of God to stand behind the sacred desk and preach the Word of God. God does not win souls by other methods.
Amen.
It's an abomination. Yes, sing all you want. I loved it, ladies. I even loved it when you sang, preacher. I loved it. But now it's time to preach. That's God's message. You say, well, I enjoy singing more than I do preaching. I don't blame you. Sometimes I do too. But listen, that's the method that God gave, and you can't beat or improve upon God's message. We've replaced it. But singing and music is found just 25 times in the New Testament in 17 verses. And the concept, God helped us and God bless your soul, the concept of professional counseling and counselors and psychiatry and psychologists is not found anywhere in the entire Bible. Not one time. But yet millions of Christians across America will turn on the radio and listen to a, quote, Christian psychologist, end quote, and turn it off when a man of God comes on and starts preaching, thus saith the Lord. That's an abomination, and that's why our churches are dying and America's going to hell.
Amen.
We need preaching, preaching. In the New Testament, 133 times the Bible talks about preaching and prophesying and the prophet. And the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. My friend, if you want the power of God, you better get you a preacher who's got the power of God on him. The power of God is not going to come through a politician. The power of God is not going to come through teachers. The power of God is not going to come through psychiatrists. The power of God is not going to come through education. The power of God comes through the man of God, full of God, sent out to preach the gospel of God. Old time preaching. Foolishness to them that perish. Yes, the world calls it foolish and snickers at it and says a bunch of fanatics and you're dangerous. But God has other viewpoints of it. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, that is worldly wisdom. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Yeah.
That's God's method of evangelization. It's through the preaching of the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah.
But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Yeah.
And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And yet you're flooded with the teaching, counseling, psychology advocates. We have the Christian psychologists. But not only that, we have the teaching preachers. And they mean well, and I'm not trying to be mean or unkind. But, for example, I can think of several across America. I can think of a couple that come, that ever seems like every time I turn on WZAP, I hear him. And every time I turn on the television on Sunday morning, I hear him. He's a good man, and he's a fundamentalist, but he uses a perverted Bible. He doesn't know any better. And by the way, fellas, I hope you don't mind if I refuse to apologize before being a King James man. And this fella comes on, and he means well. He's got a huge congregation, but all he does is get up there and teach. And somebody said to me the other day, of a pastor that had been newly called to a local church, said they referred to one of these fellas and said, he reminds me of a young so-and-so, and I thought to myself, God help us, not another one. Why will more people come to a singing than to a preaching? Why will more Christians follow after Christian psychologists than their pastors? And why do more people listen to preachers who lecture on television and radio than to those who preach? And why do Christians go to state-certified marriage counselors rather than to heaven-certified preachers? And why do we take our children to modern school psychiatrists rather than old-time preachers? And why do we buy books on child-rearing written by secular doctors rather than those written by divinely called prophets of God? And why do we get mad if someone criticizes our low-down, stinking, crooked political party? Say, which political party are you talking about, Brother Branson? Yours? Whatever it is, they're all low-down, stinking, and crooked. I'm talking about Democrats, and I'm talking about Republicans, and I've said it before, and bless your heart, if you're a Democrat, you better get on your knees and repent of God for that wickedness, and you better repent if you're a Republican. We don't need Democrats and Republicans in our churches. We need old-time, blood-bought Christians that'll stand on the Word of God. And why do we get mad? Or why do we adore men who play boys' games for millions of dollars, but give little thought to the men who minister up to us the Word of God for the lowest comparative salaries on earth? People complained about Jim Baker making $1,300,000 a year or whatever. You can have your own opinion about Jim Baker, and I'm not here to talk about that tonight, but I'm telling you something. If a ball player that can hardly speak the English language and all he can do is spit and scratch and swing a bat can make $4 million a year, I think that a preacher's worth $100 million a year. Where have our values gone? Why? Why in the name of God do we call teachers to our pulpits rather than preachers? Why are we more loyal to our union than our preacher? Why do we look to Washington and Nashville and Richmond for the answer to our problems rather than to our pulpits? Now, I talked about teachers and counselors and so forth who are supposed to be, we look at them as preachers, and you say, well, what's the difference? What is the difference between preaching and other forms of communication, such as teaching? And most people do not know that there is a difference. And that's why you'll have someone get up and teach a Bible lesson and tell you they're preaching, and everybody thinks they're preaching. 90% of those in the pulpits across America at least do not even know what preaching is. They don't know the difference between preaching and teaching, preaching and lecturing, preaching and counseling, preaching and other forms of communication. Well, I'll give you a few differences tonight. I'm not going to tell you all, but I'm going to tell you some of them. Number one, teaching discusses and preaching thunders.
Amen.
Teaching presents and preaching proclaims.
Amen.
Teaching is republican and preaching is monarchical. Teaching instructs and preaching demands a decision.
Amen.
Teaching convicts little and preaching convicts powerfully.
Amen.
Teaching leaves the hearer little changed. Preaching leaves no one unchanged. I'll guarantee you, everybody goes out this door tonight, you're going to be changed one way or other. You may be mad and on fire and ready to fight. You may get saved if you let God do it. But you're going to go out of here a little bit different than you came in. Teaching suggests action or reaction. Preaching forces action and reacting. Teaching presents ideas and concepts, and preaching decrees authoritative absolutes.
Right.
I'll tell you one thing else. You may listen and not know if you've heard teaching or preaching or not, but when you have heard preaching, God bless your heart, you'll know you've been preached to.
Amen.
That's one difference you won't have to ask about.
Amen.
Our only hope is to turn away from those other things and get back to preaching.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
You see, preaching is the answer. A church cannot do what God wants it to do without old-time preaching.
Amen.
It may get big. It may have big crowds. But so does Michael Jackson. So do the rock stars. So do the movie stars. So do these fellas in glass churches that always want you to feel good about yourselves.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the thing. I'm saying if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you've got to be led by a preacher. Nothing is done for God without the leadership of a man of God, called of God.
Amen.
Walking in the paths that God has called him to walk in. And that's why Satan gives us all these other things. Satan wants you to have teachers. Doesn't make any difference. They're fundamental. They believe the King James Bible. Now, that doesn't bother him too much. He wants you to have counselors. He wants you to go to Christian psychiatrists and all that. Above all other things, he wants you to keep you away from real, old-time, hell-hot, Holy Ghost preachers, because he knows that if you get under the preaching of an old-time man of God, your life is going to get changed, and you'll do something for God, and you'll change America. So he'll give you all the fundamental teachers and counselors that you want, just as long as he can keep you away from the divinely called man of God.
Amen.
Now, of course, the preacher must teach, you understand, apt to teach. But above all, he must preach. And I'll tell you something else. Real preaching will do more teaching in a half an hour than the best teaching will do in 3 days.
Amen.
America's number one problem is a preacher problem. It's a national problem. God always corrected the course of a nation through his preachers. Go back over to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 5. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes. Oh no, preacher, you don't get into politics. The prophets which spoke in thy name to our slick presidents, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off. through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. Why have they been driven away? Because they wouldn't listen to their prophets. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. When the prophets are ignored or rejected, disaster always overtook the nation, and that's why disaster has overtaken the United States of America.
Amen. It's
not only a national problem, it's a church problem. Look again at our text in Hebrews chapter 13. Now listen, church. Listen, Christians. Whether you're a member of this church or not, you're a member of some church, you listen to what God says. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followeth, considering the end of their conversation. I've told this before, but one of our ladies in Lancaster, California, was upset about something that the government had did, and she called the local congressman. The local congressman didn't like it, and he said, well, don't you know the Bible says that you're supposed to obey your politicians? And he quoted her Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. She came back and talked to me, asked me about it, and I called him, and I said, do you think that refers to politicians and the government? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'd like to know when you or your congressman spoke the word of God to the people of this country. That's referring to your preachers. And notice it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God says to remember those who have the rule over you. Remember your pastor and follow them, to obey them and submit yourself to them. Why? Because they watch for your souls, and one day they'll stand before God and give an account for you and your soul and your action. And if you rebel against your pastor, they'll give an account of that, and it will not be profitable for you. That's what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Which makes it an individual problem. You are individually responsible to honor and obey your preachers. And when you set out to oppose a godly pastor, to impose your will upon his, to reject his leadership, you are rejecting God's leadership. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 8, God had been ruling the people through his preachers. And they said, well, we want to be like the other nations around us, and we want a king. And Samuel was brokenhearted. And here's what God said to Samuel. Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. When you reject the God-called preacher and begin to speak out and rebel against him, now a lot are not God-called, by the way. You say, well, I don't think my preacher is God-called. Well, I have a suggestion for you. Until you're sure that he is or is not, you better sit there and be quiet.
Amen.
And then when you think that probably he isn't, you need to leave and go somewhere else instead of stirring up trouble in the church. You just get out and go find a man you know is called of God. And you got a bunch of them down here tonight, by the way.
Amen.
Don't you dare get caught up in this modern disrespect for pastoral authority. Well, I don't believe preachers ought to run the churches. Well, God bless your heart, who do you think ought to, Slick Willie? You know. And he's going to try to do it, by the way. Him or President Hillary, one or the other. Which one of them was elected? I can never remember. I read in the Texas Southern Baptist newspaper, Southern Baptist people were writing in, and I'm not criticizing Southern Baptists. I have a lot of Southern Baptist friends. I preach in Southern Baptist Church. Oh, is this a Southern Baptist church? I don't even know. But I'm not criticizing them. And Southern Baptists have been fighting a battle to turn the convention back to conservatism. They've been winning the battle. We ought to get behind them and pray for them instead of criticizing them. But he said, our problem is preachers. We shouldn't allow preachers at our convention. If we made the preachers stay out of it, we wouldn't have any problems. And my friend, you've got it all backwards. What in the name of God do people think a preacher's for, to hang on the wall as a decoration? Well, if that's so, you got a bad decoration. Brother, I can tell you a lot prettier things than them to hang up behind the pulpit. No! God put them behind the pulpit to lead the church. If they keep all the rest out of the Southern Baptist Convention politics, maybe they could get it straightened out a little bit better.
Amen.
Some claim, well, preachers don't have any business in saying anything about politics and government. But don't you know it was God's sovereign will to govern by his preachers?
Yes.
That he gave us kings and presidents, as we read just a little while ago, only because men of old rejected his prophets? Do we not know that in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, that the Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets? Don't you know that if America listened to its preachers like it did 100 years ago, we could straighten out this country. But politicians will never do it. Don't you know that God doeth nothing in the earth, but that he revealeth it to his servants, the prophets? Nothing. Nothing. You say, well, preacher, you're a preacher and you ought not to be saying that. Wait a minute, I just quoted the word of God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. I don't particularly like it. I would like to be like some preachers I know who just sit back and fold their hands and say, well, I just let the board run everything. Makes it easier for me. Yes, sir, the board will run everything. They'll run you right off. That's what they'll do. Say, well, it's easier if a board runs it. See, something goes wrong, the board gets the blame. Oh, don't kid yourself. Something goes wrong, you get the blame. Something goes right, the board gets the blame. Don't you know that the defense and strength of a nation is its prophets? In 2 Kings 2:12, when Elijah was taken up, Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And in 2 Kings 13:14, when Elijah was dying, he was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. That the preachers are the defense and strength of a nation. How far have we gone today? When in our national affairs we say that because a preacher is a religious man, that is, if he's a man who believes the Bible, he's a religious man, he is disqualified from public office. But yet we find that the kings of the nation fell down at the bedside of the prophet of God and said, if you die, our defense is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Preachers are the defense and strength of a nation. Our nation is dying because we have rejected the prophets. Our churches are in chaos because we have turned to teachers and counselors and programs rather than demanding old-time sin-calling, Holy Ghost anointing, Bible-thumping, floor-stomping, hell-hot, heaven-sweet with only the cross between, supernaturally called preachers who preach without apology, breathe some fire, and claim the authority of this holy book, and claim it above all authorities on this green earth. And that individual Christians are spiritually empty because they're being fed by and are relying upon men who are not given the task of speaking the word of God to them. Not being accountable to the pastors who must give an account of them to God. But not following their example of faith and godly living. But not obeying the ones who are commissioned to rule by causing their pastors grief rather than joy. And then we wonder why so much of our church work is unprofitable. Go back and read Hebrews 13:7 and 13 again and start obeying. Start submitting yourselves. Start remembering in prayer. Start supporting. Start upholding your pastor. And start asking him, "Pastor, what can I do to make your load easier?" And you'll find that God will be entering into your heart and doing a work there that you didn't know could be done, and that your church will begin to change for the better.
Amen.
Go back. Listen to what God has to say. And yes, we said a minute ago, rule is the right term. Well, I don't believe a preacher ought to be a dictator. No, he ought not to be a dictator, but he is a ruler.
Yeah.
He is a leader.
Amen.
And by the way, he doesn't lead, as we said a minute ago, with the permission of boards and committees. We have boarded and committed our churches to death until we have committed boards everywhere.
Yeah.
And they boarded up the church and kept the Holy Spirit out.
Yeah.
Do you know, I get so upset about this sometimes. I could spend an hour preaching on boards and committees. People on boards and committees are good people. They don't know better, Brother Vaughn.
That's right.
We've taught them. The preachers have taught them that.
That's right.
We've let them do it and let them get away with it. The preacher ought not to be a dictator, but he is a ruler and he is a leader. That's what God calls him. Moses never had a board. Jethro, his father-in-law, said, "Well, you need to choose some men to help you rule." And Moses said, "I think that's good." And he did, but God didn't pay any attention to them, and they faded out of sight. And finally, Moses told God, "I need some men to help me with the menial affairs." And God said, "Okay, I'll do that." He said, "You pick you out some men." And God took some of Moses' power and put it on some of those men so that they could help him. But Moses was still the ruler. They never had board meetings. Moses said, "You fellas go do this, this, and this." And they tried it off and did this, this, and this. In the New Testament, on and on you can go. God chooses to rule through his preacher. Well, why is old time preaching rejected today? Don't have time to give details, but just a few reasons. People do not want authority, they want license. They want anarchy rather than monarchy. They want a maybe rather than it is so. They want to do their own thing rather than do what thus saith the Lord. They want the self-destructive indulgence rather than saving discipline. They want riot rather than restraint. They want wantonness rather than guidance. They want gratification rather than temperance. And the problem is embodied in Psalm 2. Now go turn over there with me, and while you're turning, I'll remind you it's 9 o'clock. I started at 8:25. Okay? Now, 2 hours and 25 minutes of my time still allotted to me. But I think I'm getting close to the end. We'll probably be done by 10:45. Now, don't you start looking at your watches now. I only had it 35 minutes. And I'm glad I wouldn't have missed the singing for the world. In Matthew chapter, Psalms chapter 2, here's the problem. Here's why free people don't want the preaching of the Word of God, but all these other things. It's an attitude. Why did the heathen rage? Now this speaks about a principle, and it's also a prophecy of when Jesus returns. Well, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." People have rejected the old-time preaching because they do not want to be ruled by the Word of God, and so they attack and reject the messenger divinely appointed to deliver that word. And so they say, and the kings of the earth say, and you know in America we've been saying it, that we will not have him rule over us.
Amen.
We will break their bands asunder, and that's the bands of the Bible.
Yeah.
We will cast their cords from us. The people in the nations of the world, and particularly in America, say we are going to break the bands of this old-time religion. We're not going to have any more Ten Commandments. We're not going to have any more teaching about morality. We're not going to hear any more about character and politics. We're not going to have any more fanatics scaring our people with hell. We're going to break these bands and cast the cords from us, but listen to me. It's God they're rejecting. It's the word of God they're rejecting. And they hate preachers because preachers are simply the messengers of God. They don't have the guts to say, we hate God. And so they say, we won't have these fanatical preachers anymore.
Amen.
Well, listen. It's not you they're rejecting, fellas.
Amen.
It's your God.
Amen.
And don't you worry. He'll take care of you and us.
Amen.
Just like when Jesus was crucified. Pilate said, this is your king. And they screamed, we will not have this man rule over us. And mankind, wicked, unsaved mankind, has been screaming that message, we will not have this man rule over us today. But God says, that's all right. It's going to get bad. And they're going to break my bands, they think, and they're going to do their own things. But he said, he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh.
Amen.
And the Lord shall have them in derision.
Yes.
And there's coming a day when God is going to look down on this backslidden, wicked nation and this perverted world and say, you wouldn't have me. You wouldn't have my son. You rejected in jail and stoned the prophets that I sent to you. And you think you can run your own affairs. And now you're in a terrible mess. And you're dying of disease. And the beasts of the field are cutting you down. And you're having wars. And you're dying all over the place. And I'm sitting up here laughing at you.
That's right. Amen. That's what he said.
One day he will.
Yes,
God's mercy is sweet and long-suffering. But let me tell you, there comes a time when mercy is over and judgment falls.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And there are angry preachers in America because they will not have the rulership of God and the principles of this Bible. And so they elect to persecute and execute the messenger because they don't have the guts yet to say, we hate that fellow there.
Amen.
But one day they're even going to do that.
Yes.
One day they're even going to look up to heaven and say, God, we hate you.
Yes.
That's another message. The pictures in Matthew 21:35 where the husbandman sent his servants to look after his vineyard and they beat one and killed another and stoned another, and then he sent his son and they killed him too. And he said, well, what do you think that the Lord is going to do, the master of the vineyard is going to do when he comes back? He said, well, he's going to kill them and cut them asunder. And he said, that's right. That's what he's going to do. And one day that's what he's going to do. Now, what should your response be to this message? You should very quickly reject those things and programs that do not have preaching as the central jewel.
Amen.
Folks, we've got to get back to preaching.
Amen.
You stop supporting those psychologists and those teachers and lecturers. I mean, you can support them if you want to, but you just remember that first of all, you need to get back to supporting that which has preaching as the central jewel.
Amen.
You need to, number two, open your heart and make it receptive to your pastor. Number three, to yield to his authority. Number four, reject the teaching preacher. Number five, go to the pastor with your needs, not counselors and all the rest of this garbage that has no place in the Word of God. And then recognize the awesome load he carries and do all you can to ease it. And then the one that will really make you mad, pay him enough that the finances will not trouble his family and make it more difficult to serve you and God. Now, this church may not be able to do that now, but you ought to be doing everything you can. And you ought to be looking forward to that day when you can put this man on the field full time. And let me tell you something else. Pastor comes before missionary. Now, I'm all for missions and missionaries. We probably, in our small ministry, spend more money supporting foreign works than any ministry in this area. And we send free materials to Nigeria, to Ghana, to the Philippines, to Nepal, to India, all over the world. And I believe in missions and I believe in missionaries. But somehow in so many of our Baptist churches, we've got the cart before the horse. And we'll spend multiplied thousands of dollars on missionaries while the pastor goes hungry. I've seen churches cut their pastor's salary, and he couldn't feed himself with what they were already giving him. But I've seen churches literally cut the pastor's salary so they could give more to a Christian college or some missionary in South America. And that's wrong. That's a sin. Now take care of your missionaries, but you take care of your pastor first. And so, in summary, we have rejected God's men and replaced them with all of these other things, but yet preaching is God's method for reaching people for Christ. We are flooded with the teaching, counseling, and psychology advocates. And there is a difference between preaching and other forms of communication, one of them being that when you hear preaching, you know very well that you have heard preaching. It is America's number one problem. It's a national problem. It's a church problem. It's an individual problem. And then God gave us our preachers to run and operate and be the leaders and the monarchs in our churches. God's first choice was to govern the nations through his preachers, but the people refused the preacher, and then God gave them kings, and finally they refused kings, and God gave us perhaps what might be the worst form of government, is a parliamentary government. But you understand, you may think that's the American way, but that is not God's way in his churches. Old-time preaching is rejected because we do not want the authoritative voice of God. And people hate preaching and preachers because they hate God and they take it out on his messengers.
Amen.
You should do everything you can to support your pastor in every possible way.
Amen.
Preachers, the old-time prophets. Well, what is the central message that preachers have? Yes, we're to preach to nations. Yes, we're to preach on morals and conditions. Yes, we're to preach everything that's in the Bible. But what is the central message, the central jewel in the pastor's message? I'll give it to you in 15 seconds and we'll close. Here is the central jewel in every preacher's message. Nobody's good enough to go to heaven. Everybody's a sinner. The penalty for sin is hell fire. Jesus paid the penalty in your place and rose from the grave. If you believe it and ask him, Jesus will forgive your sins and save your soul and take you to heaven someday. American and America, with an overwhelming preponderance of born-again people, will be an America that is what you want it to be. And therefore, our first responsibility is the simple message of salvation. Would you bow your heads?